Welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this Hand in Hand podcast. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we provide information, classes, training, and lots of support for parents like you. We call our approach Parenting by Connection, and it's based on the insight that you deserve good support as you parent, and every child needs lots of connection in order to thrive. We offer tools to help you foster support for yourself and connection in your family. We hope this podcast gives you exactly the kind of support you're looking for.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Kirsten.
Hi, Kirsten.
I can now. I'm just getting signed on. There was a little glitch on my screen, but I think I'm here now. So, yeah, good. I've got somebody calling from Norwell, Mass. Who's calling from Norwell?
Excellent. I'm from Melrose, Massachusetts.
Oh, from Melrose? I grew up in Wayland.
Oh, yeah. Not too far away.
Yeah. I was just up there visiting my brother in Orange, actually.
Oh, in the western part of the state. How did they fare in the snowstorm?
Huh?
How did they fare in the snowstorm?
This most recent one? I don't know, actually. I have to call them and check. I've lost track of all the insane snow, you know, it seems like. Whatever, it's another crazy snowstorm in New England. You guys have been getting crazy batches, huh?
Yeah, we've had our fair share this winter. Make up for the mild winter we had last year, I think.
Yeah.
When I signed up for the phone conference, I wasn't mindful of the time difference. So, I'm not going to be able to stay on for too long, but it's my understanding that we'll be able to access the audio file to listen in at a later time. Do you know if that's true?
Yes, absolutely. You'll get a recording. I don't know how it operates if it's everybody gets a recording or just the people that signed up but didn't come on it, but yes, there will be a recording, and I think it'll be sent to you automatically, and if you don't get that, just, you know, check in with them and say, hey, I'd like to listen to the recording of this, but I'm pretty sure it just comes to you automatically. So please just contact them back if you don't get that recording in the very near future.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. The time change kind of throws everybody off for a week or two with children and bedtimes and wake-up times. And, you know, I'm kind of the belief of, like, why do we have to do that anyway? It doesn't really make any sense to me. Like, just let's leave it alone because, you know, sometimes I have calls where I might have people in literally five different time zones on scheduled call where we meet, you know, once a week for a long period of time. So not only in the States are we off because, you know, you've got people in Arizona. I'm not sure if Arizona is the only place in the States that doesn't change time, but
Hawaii
doesn't change time.
That's right.
So we've got people in Hawaii who aren't changing time. Arizona's not changing time, so they don't change. And then we've got people in Europe that change times, but at different times than we do. And it's like, can we leave it alone? Like, there's not really any need to. I don't get it, but that's just me. Nobody asked my opinion when they made that rule. So anyway. Welcome all of you. I'm so glad to have you all here. Let me see if it's time yet. Okay, good. It is time.
How many people are participating?
Say again?
How many people are you anticipating joining in on the call, do you know?
Well, actually, we had 160 people register.
Wow.
Yeah, so a lot of times when people register, they know, you know, I'm registering, but I'm not going to be able to listen, and I'm just registering so I can get the recording. So it doesn't mean we're going to have that many people on the call. It just means, you know, that many people saw it. And it also means that many people found this topic important to them, you know. So if any of you are feeling like I'm alone and feeling like my life is chaotic and uncertain, guess what? You are not alone. You know, that's a lot of people signing up for that topic. So that alone kind of helps you, you know, just notice that, you know, there's plenty of people signing up for this topic. So, I'm gonna, just do a little quick check-in with everybody and, introduce myself and maybe give you guys a couple, check in on a couple people and see, you know, what brought you to the call, and then I'll probably mute everybody out so there's not as much background noise. There's quite a bit of background noise, and then we'll have our call. So I'm Kirsten Nottleson, and I have. I just really want to say welcome to all of you who made it. I'm calling in from Austin, Texas, and in a lot of Texas right now, we're on spring school break. So particularly, I appreciate you guys that are here on spring break making the phone call. And, you know, time change throws things off. So I hope that those of you that wanted to be here were able to get here and that the time change didn't throw you off too much. I'm the mother of two boys. I have 11-year-old and 17-year-old boys. And I've been working with parents about 23 years and have been a certified hand-in-hand instructor since 2007, but really been using this tool, the Parenting by Connection tool, since my 17-year-old was a little over a year old, so about 16 years, and really find them to be life-changing. And many times during that 16 years, my life has felt uncertain and chaotic, and that there's been, you know, big, big things happening in our world, and found that Parenting by Connection tools have really helped me be able to walk through those times in a way that just more sane than I think it would have been without the tools. It hasn't made my life flawless. I mean, it's like life, it's going to happen. It's going to throw us curveballs left and right. There's nothing that will ever change that. It's, you know, like that is going to be part of life. And the more people you add to your world, whether it's children or family members or, you know, more curveballs will come. But I do really feel like Parenting by Connection gives us a way to walk through that in a way that is healthy and sane and can, you know, be solid and stable for our children right in the midst of all that chaos. So just before we go into some of the thoughts, I just would like to hear from, I can't hear from everybody because there's so many people on the call, but just a couple people, maybe you want to jump in and say if there's a particular thing that brought you to the call, that would be great.
I'd like to jump in.
Okay, great.
My name is Linda, and what brought me to the call is I'm self-employed. And I work from home, and lately my work schedule has been really, really chaotic, where I'll work during the day, and then my husband comes, and I take a break, be with the kids, and then after dinner I'll go right back to work, and so I'll not spend a lot of time with the kids, and I can see that there's some fallout from that, and it's a short-term thing, but they don't know that, and you can't really explain it to them. Or I try, but So that's the chaos in our lives right now, and so I'd like help with how do I help them with my chaotic adult work schedule.
Great.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, that's really hard. Yeah.
Hi, I'm
and I won't be able to answer the questions right now. I'm just kind of gathering a few thoughts. So.
Is it okay if I jump in? I just lost my mom about a month ago, and I have a 4-year-old son, and he was very independent up until that time, and it was a really kind of a rough ending of her life. She had Parkinson's, and she lingered for about 3 weeks, and he was in and out of the room with me in hospice, and since my mom died, he's having a lot of anxiety about leaving me because he's afraid that I'm going to die, and so he stopped going to school, and he basically doesn't even want to be just with my husband either. He just needs to be with me all the time, and so it's been very stressful, and just trying to, like, help him navigate through this time in a healthy way for both of us. That's why I'm here. Hi, buddy.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
Glad you could make it. Glad you could carve out the time to be here tonight.
I'd love to go.
Yeah, please.
My name is Melissa, and I've gone through an amicable divorce, and I'm still living with my ex-husband, but we're trying to figure out how to separate out from living from each other, and also how to move away from where we live and essentially start all of us out in a new place. So it's two major life transitions, and part of what's been holding me back from doing any of it is how to deal with that with my almost 3-year-old daughter. Thank you.
Thanks. Somebody else want to jump in?
Hi, Kirsten. I have a 7-year-old now, and I'm just dealing with anxiety from some huge traumas that we went through. We had to transition a lot, certain things going on, and we went back and forth just dozens of times. And so I saw there was times when his anxiety just really spiked, and lashing out from that, and I didn't know about Hand in Hand during a big chunk of this time, so I'm very thank God that I know about it now, but even now I'm trying to help him to get rid of that baggage, and one of my huge challenges is when I am tired, fatigued, bedtime and pain, whatever the health challenges or the chaos that I'm still dealing with from all this, when I'm not feeling like I can be there, what little techniques I can do without, when I'm just not up for a pillow fight or something like that. So I just want to throw that out there, how to handle it when I don't feel up to the challenge.
Yeah, got it. Good. Yeah. Ooh, it's hard, right? When we are toast, when our cup is empty, when our well is running dry.
Right.
And they're trying to dip into it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
One more? Is there one more? Okay. Well, that's good. We can get started. What I'm going to do is I'm going to mute everybody out. And if you have a question, you can push *2, and I won't necessarily, I just have to tell you I can't promise to get to everybody because it's such a short period of time. But it's okay. Go ahead and if you have a question, you can push *2, and I hope to have a period of time at the end when you guys can ask questions. So for now, I'm going to mute out because it makes it easier for everybody to hear. Okay, let me see where I do that.
like a chicken vindaloo mile. Well, you can't make it with
Sorry, you guys. I'm trying to figure out what the heck is going on with this. Could somebody push *2 so that I know you can hear me? Just push *2 on your phone right now so I know you can hear me, because something's going on with my control panel and I want to make sure everybody can hear me. *2. Can somebody push *2? Where I go on. Okay, great. Okay, there we are. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Okay, so, all right. Well, I just want to say I'm so glad that you guys could all make it and that you're here together. And probably one of the most important things that I want you to kind of just notice, and almost, I want you to see if you can almost feel the presence of the other parents on this call. I don't know if all of you heard this, but 160 people registered for this call. So for any moment that you feel like you're alone and you're the only person that or parent out there that's feeling like, yikes, this is too hard, there's too much going on, my life is a mess, you are so not alone in that. You've got this incredibly powerful group of parents that are in the same boat with you in many ways. And I think that regardless of parenting by connection or not, there's something that happens with we humans when we can notice that others are around us and we have the support of others around us kind of working towards similar goals. And, you know, even like what they talk about, like even weight loss programs, if you're trying to lose weight or exercise, they say when you are with a group of people, it's overwhelmingly more effective to be able to achieve your goals if you're doing it with somebody else. So you guys have got this incredible, powerful network of people around you, and sometimes it can feel like they're out of your reach and that you don't have them, and you're not part of what happens for us parents. We feel kind of isolated. But just know that people are out there and wanting to be of support and wanting support themselves, and that, you know, part of what we want to try to do is be able to access that support. So I want to start off by just talking a little bit about how significant our attention for our children is, that our children really rely upon our warmth, our attention, and our love to provide their sense of safety, stability, and well-being. They can feel that attention and love, that sense of safety, when they're well connected to us, when we have that sort of emotional connection with our children. And that connection is nourished by simple things like playing with them, getting down on their level, sort of noticing what it is that they're interested in. It doesn't have to be we're going to go to this fabulous amusement park or go on a 6-day vacation to Disney World, or, you know, it doesn't have to be anything spectacular. I mean, you guys know how delighted our kids are when they're just simply, I mean, I just remember this game my dad played with me where he would put his hand down, I'd put mine on top, he'd put his on top of me, and we'd do this hand stacking game. And just because I was on my dad's lap sitting with him, I felt like I could do that for hours. Reality is we probably would play that game for maybe 2 or 3 minutes at a time, but it just felt like so filling up of my cup, just that he stopped everything he was doing and was just going to sit and play this little hand game with me. So it doesn't have to be rocket science. It doesn't have to be big and splashy and fireworks. It's just, you know, our children really are nourished by us noticing what they're interested in, noticing what makes them laugh, being silly, noticing when they want us to be serious. You know, there's times when they really want to be just have somebody next to them while they're figuring out a puzzle or, you know, the latest Lego kit that, you know, like they're trying to put together. a lot of times it's just us sort of playing games that maybe we actually hate. You know, it might be sitting with them and playing a video game that you can't, that you find excruciatingly boring, or, you know, having a tea party with the My Little Pony figures, or, you know, maybe it's being able to laugh and joke about body parts and the sounds they make, or the, you know, farting jokes, or being with your teenager and laughing at jokes that you cannot believe that, how did it happen that I'm making this joke with my teenager? This is not what I imagined 14 years ago, that I would be, you know, one day making this kind of joke with my teen, with my child. I guess what I'm getting at is just like that sort of connected, following their lead, being close with them, like the kind of play that we refer to when we talk about special time. This really nurtures their sense of connection with us. And then also being able to listen to them in their really emotional moments when they're having those big meltdowns by the front door because, you know, there's something wrong with this sock that they just picked out of the drawer. You know, they picked it out, but yet now we get to the front door and it's the worst sock they've ever worn and they hate it. And, you know, or they suddenly can't tie their shoe and they're having a huge meltdown about tying their shoe and they've been tying their shoes for 2 years, you know. Maybe they got a terrible test at school and they're coming home and blasting you with, you know, why didn't you study with me longer? Or maybe somebody at school picked on them. But they're just needing to sort of unload those big feelings and have big tantrums and cry really hard, and us just stopping what we're doing and being able to sort of listen to them through those tears, through the outbursts, without trying to fix anything about them, without changing up, without even really coming up with any solutions for them. Just the being present and listening to them lets them know we care, and it strengthens that connection, and it helps them to be able to kind of go out into the world and do what they've got to do. So this might be kind of a new concept to you. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with Hand in Hand and the Parenting by Connection approach, but it's one of the cornerstones, really sort of playing and connecting and listening to the emotional, their emotional world. Those are sort of like the two main cornerstones of our approach. And you can certainly read and learn more about it as you explore Hand in Hand quite a bit more. But so these are really big, important pieces, and it sounds really good, but any of you that have been trying this for a while know that it's actually quite difficult to be present and play these games that you can't stand when you feel exhausted and tired, and when you have all kinds of other things on your mind. Including some of the things that you guys mentioned at the beginning of the call. When you have these other stresses added on, whether it's financial worries, illness of your, you know, your own illness, illness of family members, you know, terminal illness, financial worries about, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, being concerned about losing your job, maybe it's your child is having ongoing struggles at school that you cannot seem to get a grasp on, figuring out what's actually going on there. Maybe there's something that you feel like there's something that needs to be diagnosed here, and I cannot put my finger on what it is, and I don't want to get it diagnosed because I don't actually really want to know. All of these things sort of add to the stress, including, you know, marital struggles. There might be issues of mental illness within your home or in immediate family members. It might mean maybe you're taking care of family members. There's oftentimes fear of the political climate, what's happening and what's going to happen and what's looming in front of us. Death is another big thing. Grief. So then add to it, a lot of us come, it's unavoidable that we parents come with some set of an emotional backpack ourselves. The things that we brought to our life as a parent that were sort of unresolved issues that we came with from our own childhood. And again, you're not alone. If you have that backpack with you, we virtually all of us have some backpack. Some it's a little fuller than others, but we've got this stuff that comes with us that makes things seem chaotic and uncertain at any time, at any given time, even when things on the outside can look like they're just fine. So yeah, bonding with our children, connecting with our children is really important, and it's difficult to do when we have all these things in our face and on our mind. And the thing is that when we're troubled and worried about things, our children know it. They are aware. They can tell, and it impacts them. It's somewhat similar to, you know, if you come home and your partner is anxious or worried, or they walk in the door and they're frustrated and angry, you'll know. You can tell. And, you know, they can tell you, I'm fine, nothing's wrong. But you know that they're upset. And that's sort of your limbic system reading their limbic system. And you can tell. And oftentimes, their anxiousness, their worry, their stress, their anger comes, you know, it sort of invades your own thinking and your own emotional state. And it's going to alter how you feel or you react towards things. And this is similar to our children. Like, they can pick up on when we're not doing well. I mean, I'm thinking about, I remember once when I just had a ton of things on my mind, and we're getting ready to go to school, and I was doing my best to get my kids out the door, and I just had that fake smile plastered on my face, thinking that that would get us there quicker or we'd get out the door easier. We get out to the car, and my then, I don't know, I think he was 11. This is my oldest child. He says, Mom, you're doing that thing where you're pretending everything is okay, and I can tell it's not, and you're making me really nervous. So, like, he knew something was off, and he would have rather had me say what was really going on than act like everything was fine. And I love that he could verbalize that so crystal clear, but a lot of times kids can't actually tell us that. They just know something is off. Our limbic systems are like these highly developed radar systems that are, you know, fine-tuned to noticing when something is not right. And our children have that. And so what that means is that we've got to advocate for ourselves and get the support we need. So the primary thing that, you know, we're going to talk about tonight is how you get the support you need. Because once you are supported, once you feel like you've got to, like, some sense of handling things, which is not the same as saying, no, everything's fine. But if you feel supported in the challenges you're experiencing, you're going to be able to be more present and be able to come up with, you know, fresh ideas about how to handle the ins and out of parenting on, you know, day-to-day basis. You're going to be better able to know, what should I tell my child? What do I include them in? What do I not include them in? How do I help them overcome this trauma that we've experienced over the last couple of years, years or months? So this idea, this messaging that we sometimes get in our culture, whether as women or as parents, that it's somehow selfish to take care of yourself, is actually completely the opposite. It's contrary to what we know, is that when parents are well-resourced and cared for and listened to, you're actually going to be a better parent. So it's actually, giving to yourself is actually really a great way of giving to your child. And I feel like I need to say that about 10 times to let that really soak in. I want you to really hear that getting support for yourself is actually really, really giving to your child. So that's easy for me to say too, you know, it's like, go ahead, get support for yourself. What does that mean? So we have, a tool at Hand in Hand as part of the Parenting by Connection approach, which is called Listening Partnership. And what that means is that you, find somebody that you trust. It doesn't have to be a best friend. It can be somebody you don't even know all that well. A lot of people describe they like having listening partnership with somebody they don't know that well because there doesn't have to be sort of the extra part about friendship or worrying what they're going to think attached to it. So it's fine to have some, you just have to trust this person. And what you do in listening partnership is you just sort of get together and you agree upon an equal amount of time. So it might be you each get 5 minutes or you each get 10 minutes. I think it's great if you can carve out, you know, 20, 30 minutes, an hour each way for each person. I highly encourage you to have a little bit longer than the 5 or 10 minutes that sometimes we can squeeze, but even 5 minutes helps. And it's great if you can be face-to-face. You don't have to. You can do it over the phone. It's nice to see the person's face, but it's not a requirement. And then you take turns. And one person talks about what's on their mind and what's stressful for them or scary for them, and the other person listens. This is the place that you can go where you get to just let it all hang out. We live in a society that really adds pressures to parents to look a certain way, for your child to act a certain way, for us to, we're supposed to feel a certain way. We're supposed to feel happy and loving towards our children all the time. Our houses are sort of supposed to look neat and tidy. Our children are supposed to dress within a certain range. On and on and on, these limiting, you know, pressures for parents about how things are supposed to be. And that pressure only makes parenting harder. It's not actually children that make our lives hard. It's the pressure that we feel and the lack of support that makes it hard. And we live in a society that is sort of squeezing parents, you know, with money pressure and, you know, schools ask for us to be a certain way and whatnot like that. And it makes, it just really makes things a little, lot harder. You know, I don't know if you got, any of you ever seen this or not, but I saw this little clip on somewhere today and it was a BBC newscaster and he was in an interview and I guess he was in his home office. It looked like, you know, he looked like he was at the news station. And he's talking and he's being very serious and they're talking about the conflict in North Korea and South Korea and in runs his like 3-year-old child in the background is in the studio or in his room. And then in comes the infant in this, the stroller walker things, the little walker things. The baby's coming in and it's like trying to maintain some level of decorum and like shushing his child away. Like the wife comes in and runs in and she's trying to scoop up the children. And I was like, man, I wish he would just like pick up that child and like scoop him onto his lap. I would love to watch that news show if there was like a baby and a child like sitting on his lap. But so it's just kind of interesting, like, you know, that it was such a picture of like he had to just keep on going, you know, just keep the faith and keep going, despite the fact that his delightful children are like, yay, daddy, I want to play, you know. So it's so how we parent. I just have to keep the faith, keep going, even though my child is right here. I just thought it was such a picture of parenthood in our society. Anyway, if you get a chance to check it out, just check it out. It'll definitely give you a chuckle. But we really need a place to be able to talk to real parents about the reality of our world and our feelings and our fear. So during your listening partnership, I think it makes sense to actually really just kind of be willing to go there. We're sort of conditioned to minimize what's going on for us. But I'm okay, or I'm going to do, you know, and I think, to be able to really say out loud what we're really afraid of, you know, what's the worst case scenario that might happen here? And, be able to say that out loud without worrying about the person, trying to take care of our feelings or fix us or come up with solutions for us. You really want to just kind of let yourself go there and show your fear. Lots and lots of our energy gets consumed by just trying to keep those fears under wrap. We don't want to face that, you know, what, so I might lose my health insurance. You know, I might, be evicted. I may lose this person I love, you know. And we don't really get a chance to go there very often. So this is kind of the place that you want to be able to do that. No matter how long your list is, no matter how many sort of items are on there, no matter how small or how big, you know, oftentimes it's the really big things we don't want to say because we're afraid that people are going to jump in or that it might be just quote unquote, you know, like too much for them, that they can't handle it or it's going to scare them. So it's really important that you have an agreement with your listening partnership, the person, that they're going to just listen and not do anything to change you or fix you or tell you to feel any different. Like that's not actually what you need. So, excuse me, I've got a little scratchy throat. So actually what we find is that when you have a chance to really go there and let it like shake and cry and be upset or be angry about what's happening, that that's what allows us to think. We have to sort of clear out that gunk in our limbic system so that we can come up with solutions. And a lot of times we get stuck in this trap of like, I've got to figure something out. I got to do something. I got to do something. And we can't go there. You know, there was a dad recently that I was talking to about his son was starting to have sex. Teenage son was starting to have sex. And I was listening to the dad about it. And he kept telling me about, well, this is what I think he needs to do. And this is what I want him to know. And I was like, yeah, but how are you feeling about him having sex? Well, what I think he should do, and he kept telling me, he just had this very rigid, fearful look on his face, which I'm sure, you know, there's a few of you that are listening to this recording that if I say teenager having sex, it's going to bring up feelings for you. And this dad kept wanting to say what he wanted to do about it and how he was going to handle it and what he wanted to tell. Well, I'm going to tell him. He needs to know this. He was very sort of solution-oriented. And we know that sex is a very sort of intimate. It's a complex thing. There's lots of things that our teenagers need to be thinking about. We want them to have their wits about them. And we want them to be able to come to us as a resource. And I was saying, so how do you feel about this? How do you feel about this? And finally, after a few minutes, he finally said, you know, what I can't say because it was his personal information, but he was relating something that happened to him in his sexual life as a teenager, and tears came and, you know, it's like, oh, that's the deal. And you could just see him sort of soften. And be able to, and it wasn't even a traumatic event that happened for him, but just being able to kind of get to the below part of the feelings and the fear, and he didn't want his son to be having that experience. And then he could sort of soften, and you could just see that he was like, okay, so I actually want him to be able to come to me. And you could just see how much more relaxed and how much more receptive he would be to his son in that situation. So Getting to the feelings is going to help us be able to think better. And when we get stuck in that mode of I got to do something, it's hard for us to be more flexible. So that's part of it, kind of being willing to go there and really show the fear and show the feelings of what we're afraid of, you know, the worst case scenario, this might happen. As the listener, it's really important when you're listening to somebody to really remember you don't have to do anything for this person but listen. You don't have to fix them. You don't have to give them solutions. It's a tremendously relief for them to be able to just say what they're most fearing or dreading, no matter how rational or irrational it seems. When we jump in to make a suggestion, well, how about if you do this? It's almost like we're giving them the message, you do need to be afraid. This is a really big problem, and I'm going to figure out how to solve it for you, which isn't helpful. In recent months, there were some big things that have happened in my community that a lot of people I knew were really scared about. So I organized a couple different groups at my house where I had people come together who were not familiar with doing listening partnership. And I just offered up my time and I said, you know, let's just get together and I'm going to tell you a little bit about this tool that I use in my life. And what happened was people were just able to go around. We went in a circle and everybody got a nice chunk of 10 or 15 minute chunk of time to just say what was on their mind, you know, and mostly it was about their big fears. And it was really amazing how, you know, it just was amazing, the transformation that you could kind of see. One woman was talking about, you know, this fear of really like total destruction of the planet was her big fear. And she was able to cry about it and talk about how she couldn't say that to anybody because as soon as she says that, people want to sort of pat her on the shoulder and say, oh, honey, that's not going to happen. Or they just get kind of freaked out and look at her with this really scared look on their face. Or, oh, my gosh, she's being ridiculous or irrational. And so she can never just say that. And she said it was amazing to be able to finally say that and cry really hard. And I just noticed as she was leaving, she's somebody I see all the time, and her whole sort of demeanor looked different to me. So that's a part of listening partnership. And another part is kind of deciding about setting up regular time for yourself, going after some folks that maybe somebody you've seen in your grocery store or at your child's preschool. It may be somebody you see at church. Somebody in your neighborhood, somebody who you've noticed but you don't, you know, you just felt nervous about asking before, and getting some listening time on the fear of even asking or approaching somebody. We also have a big database of people that are willing to do listening partnerships on the Hand in Hand website. If you go there, there's a Hand in Hand Facebook page, and you can go on there and say, hey, I'd like to do listening partnerships if anybody's available. This is my time zone. These are some of the times I'm available. Let me know if you're interested. So there are options out there. And I do think in general that when we get regular listening time where we get to sort of dump out that emotional backpack, the possibilities for options, whether it's as a listening partner or getting support for yourself in your community or getting somebody to come in and help you with whatever it is that you're struggling with into your home, whether it's having, you know, the teenage neighbor kid down the street come and watch your kid twice a week in exchange for meals or something like that. Like, there's just lots and lots of options when we get listening time. And I also think that when we get regular listening time, that it allows you to make a decision that when I am not having somebody listening to me, when I don't have somebody right there, that I'm going to decide not to fret about this thing. It's not helping me to worry about it. It's not helping me, like, worrying about it is not launching me into action. It's actually preventing me from being in the solution. And so it's much easier to be able to make that decision when you know there is a time when you get to worry about it, and you get to be fearful about it, and you get to put all of that out there. So I want to really say that when I say make a decision not to worry about it, I'm not talking about stuffing things down or forgetting about them. I'm talking about I get to be in charge of sort of where my mind goes during the day, and having places where you can let some of that stuff out, you know, open up the dam a little bit in listening partnership makes it much more easy or possible to be able to do that. So you may decide that right now we're in big trauma mode and or crisis mode, and so I'm going to get listening time 3 times a day for a week and just see what happens with that. And it might be just 5 minutes here and there. I'm kind of amazed at how big of a deal, you know, 5 minutes can make. So, and then the next piece is about also making a decision that I am going to continue to enjoy life even when this stuff is going on, particularly because this stuff is going on. So getting down and playing is key for us that, you know, maybe even more so when that chaos and uncertainty are running amok in our world. This is actually one of the great gifts of having children, because a lot of us got sort of conditioned out of playing. We weren't allowed to, or people said stop being silly or grow up. Or so we have these kids who say, it's okay to play. Come and play. It's the best thing you can possibly do. So making time, even if it's like I feel like I'm so overwhelmed, the only thing I can muster is 5 minutes, making that decision to spend the 5 minutes, even if that 5 minutes feels like horrible, I didn't do a very good job, I wasn't very present, I really think that you making that decision is really powerful anyway. Even if you have that self-doubt of I didn't do such a good job and I wasn't playful and I wasn't, you know, you made a decision to spend that 3 minutes with your child and stop what you were doing and, you know, just go read a book or go lay on the sidewalk with them and watch the ants or, you know, making that decision is powerful. I personally am a really big fan of skipping. So when I am overwhelmed with a lot of stuff, my mind tells me that I need to do more. I need to sit at my desk longer. I need to get one more thing done. I need to, you know, or, you know, do more cleaning of the dishes. I need to more. And it feels extremely uncomfortable, but I've learned to, okay, in that time, what that means is I really love walking my dog. I'm going to go walk my dog, even though it feels like it's going to be a terrible waste of time. Or I'm going to go skip down the street in my neighborhood, even though it feels like a waste of time. So I don't know if when the last time you guys skipped was, but it is really fun and it's really hard to stay stressed after you skipped. I sort of imagine like all the world leaders skipping into their place of work, you know, with their briefcases flying down the street, skipping along, and I'm imagining like how much better shape our world would be in if there was more skipping happening. A very simple act. It would be a great sight, and it's a great thought or great image for me. Special time is really key, like keeping that in your child's life, that helps replace that feeling of powerlessness that a lot of times we feel and our children feel around traumatic or stressful events, where they get to be in charge, they get to boss us around, they get to tell us what to do. And very often when we're sort of filling up our children's cups, there's something that happens for us because we get to see them sort of healing from that stress that they've experienced. And giving that to our children sort of by osmosis helps us heal from that stress and trauma. So it might be that you decide to initiate family dance parties at night where you turn on, you know, I'm a big fan of Saturday Night Fever. It's, you know, it's pretty good music, you know, like, you know, find it on your phone or find it on YouTube or wherever you can get a hold of some music. And just have a five, I mean, 5 minutes of dancing goes a long way. There could be, some pillow fighting happening. There could be a growling, like who can have the best growl? Like growling is a great way to get out some stress and have it be light and fun at the same time. So little bits of time are fine. Again, you making the decision is key. So creating family rituals, even if they're small, maybe we go around the table when we say something that made us laugh that day. Maybe we, right before bed, we go outside and we look at the stars.